The opinions expressed in Wildcard Athletics are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Welcome to Wildcard Athletics, the podcast that breaks down sports that aren't popular in mainstream media here in North America. My name is Monica and I will be your host. Now streaming karate.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Wildcard Athletics. I'm your host, Sabine, and today we're going to be diving into the world of karate. Now, our host, Monica, is actually covering the OUA Skating Championships today, so it's going to be a little bit of a producer takeover. But hi, welcome, John Michael.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So before we dive more into our terminology segment, would you like to give any background on karate, how long you did it, what type of karate you did?
I did karate since I was about six, maybe even younger, till I was 13. So it was a good, 7 years, definitely more than that. I actually don't even know what the math is, but I did karate for a long time and my whole family did it too. So I was involved in karate before I even started doing karate.
That sounds great. Now, me, I really know nothing about karate. I've done very limited research on karate for this podcast because I really just wanted to learn. But from what I understand, I know the most about the tournaments and the sparring. But could you just give a broad explanation of what karate is as a whole?
Yeah. So karate is a martial art. So you learn skills needed for your belt. So that's each level. And then as you get better, they give you stripes, and then when you have enough stripes, you get your next belt, and you perform for what we call a grading, which is a little ceremony where you jump over your old belt, and they give you your new color belt.
You jump over your old belt?
Yeah. Lie on the ground, and then it's you jump over it, and you...
Aww.
Yeah, it's cute.
That's kind of wholesome.
Yeah, it is. Because, you... imagine yourself doing that as, a little six-year-old as a white belt, and then, you're getting your black belt and you're jumping over it too.
That would be adorable.
Yeah.
So in terms of karate, is it mostly competition-based? Is it mostly learning-based? What would you say are the fundamentals of karate? When you go to karate, what happens? Do you guys have classes?
Yeah, so it's classes, and the dojo I went to was not competitive. I feel in general, karate really is not a competitive sport. There are tournaments you can go to, but the whole purpose of those tournaments are more about showing off your art in the karate. The same way that, if you think about the Olympics, they had breakdancing, or...
So it's performance almost.
Yeah, I would say it's figure skating, but I think figure skating is way more competitive than karate is, but... Yeah, so karate moves, there's four main categories of moves, right? You have punches, you have stances, you have kicks, and blocks, and you have blocks. So you have stances, punches, kicks, and blocks. So using a combination of those, so imagine a combination of those in a sequence, almost like a dance routine, right? Those are called katas. So for each belt, you have a different kata that you learn. And as you get into the higher belts, you have, obviously, you accumulate more katas you need to learn.
So is it one kata per belt, or is it, multiple, depending on, where you are within your stripes?
It's one per belt, but then when you get to blue belt, you start to unlock weapons. The first weapon we learn to use is called a bow, which is basically just a long stick. And so you do variations of your katas with those weapons. And then eventually you do katas that are completely different than anything you've done before with weapons.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, but you obviously have to keep up. You still have to know your white belt kata when you're a purple belt.
Yes. You have to keep it all in the back of your memory. Yeah.
So that's katas. And then obviously that comes with weapons. When you get your brown belt, you start using something called a tonfa, which is, imagine a wooden like stick the length of your forearm with a handle on it almost that you grip onto with your fist. It's supposed to be like these Japanese farmers took it from the like mills, like they used it to turn the mills, but then when people came to attack them, they took them and fought with them. That's like what they told me, at least, is what those are supposed to be.
So are the weapons used, you talked about there being stances, blocks, punches, are the weapons used for like all of the different types of karate, or are they like more specifically like leaning into one?
So it's all for katas. So but those obviously like you, when not really kicks because you're not holding a weapon with your legs, but they're kind of like they're extensions of your body, right? So it informs your blocks, it informs your punches and kicks and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like there's a point with the tomfas where because they're like when you can like sort of roll them out to extend your arm almost, like you could have them against your forearm or you can have it so it's like you're holding it out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So there's a part in one of the katas where you like make an X with them and it's like a loud sound.
Okay.
It's like you bang them against each other. So I think like that's like obviously something you're not gonna do with your arms, but
yes, obviously. So could you run through kind of what like a typical class is?
So every class starts with a warm up, no matter your age, you gotta warm up. Sometimes it's like a little game. Sometimes it's just like jumping jacks, push-ups, and then you do like warming up your punches, your kicks, stuff like that. Then you usually, every week, you will practice your kata with your belt. For the older, the higher belts, sometimes they'll make you practice your katas from your lower belts, keep you in check. And then after that, there's usually an activity that rotates every week. So there's sparring, weapons, and then self-defense. So usually those rotate. So I explained weapons already. But then sparring is, I think, what most people probably think karate is in the first place.
It's definitely what I thought karate was in the first place.
So that's like point-based contact. So you're doing these moves similar to the moves you do in katas. I mean, sometimes they're the same, but obviously you're like coming in contact with someone else. You wear sparring gear, so it's not violent at all, especially when you're a 6-year-old. Well, you're not a 6-year-old, but when you're like a 10-year-old doing this.
Yes, a child.
Yeah. So there's that. And that, I think, is like, it's its own subsection of karate, but it's very much important to karate, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So you'll have sparring weeks, and then you'll have self-defense weeks. And each, there's like a self-defense that you learn for each belt.
Okay. So in terms of the easiest belt, the white belt, how do you obtain it? Do you just sign up for the dojo? What kind of stuff do you have to like learn to obtain the belt?
Because I know as a kid, they like when I was very young, right? When I was like maybe 5 starting it, they do a little orientation, teach you how to like kick this pad and punch this thing. And they're like, you're ready for your first class. But I'm pretty sure they give you your white belt at the end of your first class. Not that little orientation, but I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's like in front of the class. But anyways, you basically sign up and get a white belt.
Yes. What are some of like the stances that you need to know? Because I know like you're probably not going into like punches and kicks yet as like a 5-year-old.
No, but you are. You're doing like just regular punches. Nothing crazy.
Okay, so that's like complicated.
Like yes. But you'll do a front stance, which is just like you bend your front leg, your knee, and then your back leg stays straight with a low block, so you're like covering your leg with your arm from being chopped off by a sword, I guess. and then you have high block, which is protecting your head, and with that you'd pair it with like a cat stance, which imagine like Michael Jackson moonwalking type thing. I feel like that's the best way to explain it in audio. And then you do shooter blocks, which is like open hand, so like when people think like karate chopping, like that's kind of what it is. And then there's no kicks in the white belt kata, but they do teach you.
They teach you just like very basic kicks.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've learned more about the sport, let's get more into your personal story. You said you started when you were around, like, 4 or 5, or you were even involved in the world, like, before you were conscious of it. Do you want to talk more, like, starting there?
Yeah, so my older brother and sister both did karate. They joined this dojo, like, near, like, on, I want to say, like, as it was beginning, the person founded it. Because they came with it when it moved into this bigger space and started becoming more successful. So then I joined as a little kid. Did I have much choice? I don't know, but I don't know. I feel like I was a happy little kid sometimes, or maybe I was crying the whole time. Who knows? And then actually my dad started doing karate as an adult. So they all got their black belts. You start with a white belt, then you go to white advanced, then you go to yellow, then you go to orange. Is there yellow advanced? I don't think so. It's like white advanced is like white with a yellow stripe, and then you have yellow belt, then you have orange belt, then you have green belt, then you have blue belt, then blue advance, then purple advance, then brown, brown advance, and then that's when you get your black belt. And then after your black belt, you can get like second degree black belt. But after each belt, the requirements to move up is harder, so it takes longer to get to the next one. Anyways, so I obviously watched my dad and my brother and my sister all get their black belts. Both my siblings were really young when they got their black belts. They were like 11. I think that was more in part because there's like less people at the dojo at that time, so they moved faster. At least that's what I think.
That makes sense. More like private training.
Yeah. So when I was in grade 7, I was invited to get my black belt. Yeah, so, like, karate was a huge part of my life, my family's life. All my youngest memories are just driving to karate, being at karate. I had a karate birthday party when I was, I want to say, 6. I still have photos from that. And then there sometimes be tournaments, but the tournaments were competitive. It was, like, for a fundraiser, so that everyone got a participation trophy.
Okay, validation.
But then you would get, some people would get ribbons being, like, best stances, best kicks, best attitude, something like that. And I remember getting a ribbon and being proud.
Which one did you get?
I really can't remember, but let's just say I was really good. So yes, I got all of them.
You were the all-star.
Yeah. So yeah, I feel like as I was getting older, getting to brown belt, it felt like it was taking so much longer for me to like move forward. I was getting bored, I guess, because you're practicing the same things over and over again. So eventually never like there's no creativity, right? So it's not like dance where, you know, maybe you could change it up. It's like you have to do the moves the specific way and you can get better at it. But at a certain point, you're like, I feel like I'm good at this. I'm just waiting. Because obviously, logistically, they're not going to just move you when you're ready. You do groups of people. It's almost like grades in school, right?
Oh, that's interesting. Because I know in skating, they would like, if you were ready, they would just move you into another group, because I remember I could not get this one move. If you know anything about skating, it was like the ones where you like cross your feet on the ice, and it was the only move like I couldn't get within the guidelines to get to the next like ribbon. And I remember almost every single person I knew leveled up except for me, because I was like stuck there for like, I want to say like 6 months or something, and class became like really boring and repetitive, kind of like what you were going through, because I did all the other moves perfectly fine. It was just that one specific skill.
Yeah, so there's like a little bit of that, but they're not going to just move someone ahead if they're really good. You know what I mean? Especially because the black belt thing happens here annually.
Oh, that is true. Okay.
So they're going to kind of sync you up with other people. Anyways,
so
I felt like it was...
Wait, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So it's the classes are not like super fluid. Like, was it kind of the system of like at the beginning of the year you got assigned with your class and you continued with that same class of people, or did people move, people didn't move in and out of classes throughout the year based on their level?
The classes were age based, so you would be with a variety of different belts just depending on your age.
Oh,
obviously, okay. If you're younger, there's no black belts in that class. There's just no way. But like an adult class, for example, would have all of them. Okay. And then you just kind of like, they like different senseis will take you and be like, okay, green belts, like, come on, you're going to do this kata today.
Oh, okay. See, that seems like you would have a lot of room to, like, move up because you would be still staying in the same class? Or is it because of, like, the grading ceremonies?
Yeah, because the grading ceremonies would happen monthly.
Okay.
So it's, like, you kind of have to wait. I don't know. It's, like, it's kind of a mix of the two. It's not like grades in school where it's, like, every year you move up a grade. Mm-hmm. But there is obviously some logistics to it.
Yeah, I think as a preteen or, like, someone in middle school, if I, like, had all my moves and I had to wait, like, a good amount of weeks to move up, that would annoy me a little bit.
Yeah. Also, I was in middle school, and I'd been doing this my entire life. I was just getting bored of it. It wasn't anything was going wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's natural for a lot of people to grow out of a sport they're doing.
Oh, 100%.
And so, yeah, I wasn't really feeling it, and then it was just because of the, obviously, like, getting your black belt is a lot. It's not just, like, any other belt. It's almost like you have to take exams.
Yes, what was the story of you getting, like, the opportunity to try to get your black belt and, like, what the black belt actually entails?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you get stripes on your belts, right? So I had my brown advanced belt, had all my stripes, all my things. I knew I was ready to move on. And then at the beginning of the year, they give you, like, an invitation. It's the same kind of invitation they give you for your grading and for other belts, but now it's like, oh, you're invited to get ready for your black belt. These are the things you have to do, blah, 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 blah. So then I knew what to expect just because my brother and sister and dad all went through it. So there's, like, a fitness. I forget what they call the exams, but I'm just going to say exams, but I feel like there may be another name for them. Anyway, so there's, like, a fitness one where it's, like, you have to do 100 push-ups in this many minutes, this many sit-ups in this many minutes, hold a plank. Is it hold a plank for 5 minutes or something crazy?
5 minutes.
And then I think
insane.
It's like you have to do constant jump roping for 50 minutes. But that might be actually second degree black belt because my brother got his. So I know about that. But it was like you have to constantly jump rope for a long time. Anyways, so there's that. And then you'll have like your kata exam, which is like they could ask you to do any kata. And it could be do it backwards, do it facing this way, turn a little bit doing facing this way.
Which is harder than people think. When I did dance and we had to, like, turn away from the mirror, like, everyone would be confused the first time we did it. So, like, to be able to do that on a whim either takes a lot of practice or a lot of skill.
Or it'd be, like, do the cut-up but mirror it. So you go right instead of left. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could not.
And so when you're a black belt, that's, like, whatever, like, 12 different kata's plus all your weapons ones. It's a lot.
A lot of work.
And then there's also sparring tests, which I think scared me the most. Obviously, I didn't get far. I, like, quit before these exams, but it's like you constantly are sparring. And to me it just felt like everyone's getting beat up, and I was like so scared. But that's not what happened. Someone always end up with a bloody nose because it gets intense, but it's not like someone's so mad at you they punch your nose. It's just you're sparring, and these are like
part of the sport.
Yeah. So that's almost like an endurance thing. Just like, no, don't give up. Because karate is really about the values too. Mm-hmm. So that's really what they're teaching you. Anyway, so I eventually quit. I don't even remember when it was, but I was in grade 7. And I was like, I can't do this. It was just like, I think for me, it was the pressure of it, having all my family done it before, and the anxiety of it. I feel like as a 7th grader, I was experiencing anxiety for the first time. So it was like, whoa. It was kind of dramatic when I ended, not for anyone other than myself, but yeah. So no shade to the sport, but I did quit.
That's funny. And speaking of loving karate, our next segment, why do you love karate, and why does, like, the general public or, like, anyone who might view or like karate, why would they love karate?
Yeah, so I think honestly my answer is probably same for why everyone loves the sport, but at least for me, it created a safe space for me. Like, it created a safe space that was, like, for me to be able to be athletic, whereas with other sports, I didn't like them as much, or I didn't feel like I fit in as much. So karate was always nice because it's very inclusive. It's very much you're working on your own self, and it's more about the values than anything. It's about persistence and courage and courtesy, stuff like that. And I always felt like, oh, I was like a good little boy, so I felt like, oh, I was good at that. It always felt like you show up to your classes every week and it's just...
No karate.
It's about bettering yourself.
Mm-hmm. No karate parents were fighting at the competition.
No. Well, I've never been to a competition, so who knows?
The fundraiser tournament.
No. I mean, it's because, like, respect is such a huge philosophy in karate, because it's, like, respect your sensei. It's these belts. It's such, like, it's, like, this hierarchy, right?
Yes.
And it's such an old, like, it's not just a sport. It's a martial art, so there's so much history behind it that it comes with these traditions and the respect that comes with that.
Yeah, and we talked about that a lot in the rugby episode, where, like, they have everyone, like, on the field has respect that, like, the cap, like, any complaints that, like, the players may have goes through the captain, and then the captain talks to the refs. And I feel like respect in a sport, like, really just keeps the community, like, friendly and, like, not toxic.
But let's talk about what's currently going on in the world of karate. I know about two different championships. There's the Ontario Open, and then there's the Canadian Open. Do you want to tell us more about these two and when they're happening?
Yeah, so the Ontario Open for 2025 is scheduled for April 13th, which is coming up soon. You can actually sign up to volunteer for it. Who knew? Who knew? You could do that. And then, so that's for Ontario. And then for the Canadian Open Championships and the WKC Pan American Martial Arts Championships, they're scheduled for August 8th to 9th, 2025, at the Palais de Congrès in Gatineau.
Quebec.
So, yeah.
We talked a little bit in the dance episode about how sometimes, like, sports are harder to get into when you're older. Would you say adult classes are something that, like, are available to even, like, people our age, a little bit older? Like, do you think they could start their journey? Because I know you talked about your dad starting, like, after you were born.
Yeah, so karate is honestly probably a really accessible sport for adults, because the classes are just based on age. Everything's so individual. You don't have to be the same level as someone else to be in the same class. The sensei can kind of go around and help you. And also, you can help each other, right? An older belt, it helps them too to teach kata to younger belts. So because we have classes based on age, it's really accessible. It's easy for adults to get involved. And it's, like, social for them too. And it's not heavy on the body. It's, like, slower, less impact. So it's very much accessible for everyone.
That's great. Okay, so it seems like this sport is pretty, like, accessible to get involved. What if you just want to, like, support karate? Where would you watch it online, even watch it in person? I mean, we kind of covered where to watch it in person, but more, like, online, where to get news, like, live streams.
Yeah, so you can go to Sports Data. It's a website, and they have live streams of karate. They have international live streams and news and everything you could want to know.
Well, that's great. I'll definitely be checking out some karate soon then. It was so great to have you on here today, John Michael. I definitely learned more about, like, the sport of karate. For me, like, I always just saw it as, like, tournaments and, like, sparring. But now, like, I really have, like, a deeper understanding of, like, how it's about, like, values. And that is really about, like, learning the sport more than, like, competing in it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad I could contribute something to a sports podcast.
Well, we are happy to highlight you here. And for everyone listening, thank you for watching. And tune in next week for Wildcard Athletics.
Bye.
Bye.